We're turning again in our Bibles to the New Testament this time, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're reading the first few verses of this chapter. Really only reading four verses, but we want to hear what God's Word has to say. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. We know the Lord again will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. And let's unite together at the throne of grace again in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee that thou art our Father in heaven. O God, when we look at thy love and when we look at thy compassion and care towards us, when we think of how much thou dost love us and demonstrate that love to us, O God, we look to thee and say, Lord, thou art a mighty Father. And even as earthly fathers, we pray, gracious God, that we might order our homes, that we show that love and that care and that compassion. O God, that thou wouldst enable us to live as according to thy precious word. And once again, we pray for homes built firm upon the Savior, where God is Lord, where everything is ordered according to thy plan, where the word of God is read, where prayer is made. Lord, we pray that we might have homes where Christ is exalted. But Lord, come, we pray, write thy word upon our hearts, and help us, Lord, today to see thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Charlie Shedd was a man who used to preach a message on parenting around the United States. And in his book, Promises to Peter, he described how the title of his message changed with experience of fatherhood. In his early years, he used to preach the message and he called it, How to Raise Your Children. People came from far and wide to hear this message and hear him speak about how to raise your children. Then, as time went on, Charlie had his own child. And he began to experience what it was like practically. And it was a while before he preached the message again, but when he did, he had a new title. It was called Some Suggestions to Parents. Two more children, and several years later, and he preached the message again, and this time it was called Feeble Hints to Fellow Strugglers. Several years and several more children, and he seldom ever gave the talk. But when he did, his theme was, Anyone Got a Few Words of Wisdom? And there's a great danger in preaching sermons upon bringing up children, because you don't know what difficulties there may be around the corner. Nevertheless, we can never go wrong if we seek to follow what the Word of God says. Now last week we were looking at facts for fathers. And we really only got to the first point of the message. We were looking at the leadership that a father should give to his children. We said that the father is one who in the Scripture has a responsibility for the children. He should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not the mother who is the ultimate responsibility for the child, but it is the father who shows that leadership to his children. He is responsible to develop them spiritually. He's responsible to discipline them suitably, and he is responsible to deal with them sensitively. And we looked at that last time. We saw how you develop them spiritually by teaching them the Word of God, by teaching them, first of all, that they are sinners and they need a Savior, and we need to pass on to them the good old message of the Gospel. And we spoke then about how you're to discipline them suitably. We spoke about the type of discipline and the timing of it. How that the rod shouldn't be the first resort, but when the rod is to be used, and it should be used, then it should be used thoroughly and lovingly and consistently. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And finally, last time we spoke about how you're to deal with your children sensitively. We looked at how the Bible shows that a child has a bent. Each child is an individual. The Bible teaches that we should train up a child in the way that it should go, or the way that it is bent. And we will work with one child, and it will work. What we do with one child will work, but what we do with that one child may not work with another child. And we shouldn't try to force our plans or our expectations or our desires upon the child, because that will only alienate the child. So we need to be sensitive with that particular child, to deal with its own personality and the way that it wants to go and its own interests. A sensitive child will be traumatized if you're roaring at it all the time. But if your child is a stubborn child, then it will be insensitive if you're not firm with it. So today, we want to continue looking at the role of the father. And we've looked at the leadership that he is to show to his children. But secondly today, we want to come to the love that he is to show to his children. Sometimes when we hear preachers giving advice to parents, we often focus upon the discipline that they need and the rod. And very often that's natural today, because there's a great attack upon the corporal punishment and the need for the rod. And haven't we heard in the news even this week how in Scotland they're going to outlaw being able to use corporal punishment against your child even up to the age of 3 years of age, and how they say that that's going to come in the whole of the United Kingdom. And charities like Barnardo's and Save the Children are ranging themselves against the biblical way of disciplining your children and the physical punishment that you have. And we are naturally, as preachers, going to preach out against what is being attacked today. But if you get the idea that you should be whacking your children every time they step out of line, or whacking out around you every time they make a wrong move, you've got the wrong idea altogether. The picture has been painted in the media of the Victorian father who is aloof from his children, who is so strict and has a strict military discipline. And oftentimes they equate the Victorian morality, which was often a biblical morality, with the Bible. And so the media implies that if you follow the Bible, and if you follow what the Bible says about fathers, you have strict fathers, aloof fathers, who do not show love to their children. Well, that could not be further from what the Bible says. The Bible gives an image of a loving father. A love that is not often seen, actually, in this day in which we live. The Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And the word pity there is a word that means compassion. It means a love, to love deeply. And the Bible says that's what a father should be. Like as a father pitieth his children. And it was the way that the Bible brought the illustration in those days. A father loved his children. Now, if that is so, that will mean a number of things. It means, first of all, that he will have an affection toward his child. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he wrote with a father's heart. And he said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. And in writing as a father, Paul wrote this in verse 8 of the same passage. He's described himself as being affectionately desirous of you. Now, when Paul used that phrase, he could have used many other phrases in the Greek, but he picked this one. And this is one that is only used in that place in all of the New Testament. And the word there where it speaks of being affectionately desirous means an absolute yearning. It's a term of endearment, a term of the nursery, the picture of the father cradling his child, the little tiny child. Now the fathers here, I'm sure, will certainly say that you love your children, and you do.
You love them with all your heart. But there's one thing in our culture that fathers do not do, and that is express their love. Fathers have been brought up to stand aloof. Now, it's easy to hug and kiss a baby. It's easy to put your arm around a small child. But as the child grows up, physical affection is replaced by physical aloofness. We stay away from our children. We do not communicate our love to them with a loving touch. I read a touching story about a boy who had a rare disease, which meant that he had to live his whole life in a sterile bubble, because any touch might have meant a germ, and that germ would have killed him. And all his communication and all his recreation and all his education and everything about him was done in this sterile bubble. But finally it came to the time when he was dying. And since he was going to die anyway, he asked for one favor. What was the favor? It was the touch of his father's hand. That father who had sat by him in his illness. That father who had been near him in all his experiences. He said, I want a touch of my father's hand. And how thrilling, and yet how painful was that touch of the father's hand. The boy wanted the touch. And many of our children, dads, want the touch of your hand. You say, preacher, well, does that mean I should go and put my arm around my son? Well, yes, in some circumstances you should. Where those circumstances are appropriate. However, I know that most boys, if you went to put your arm around them, they would see you far enough. I know that James would tell me to catch myself on. But you know, boys don't want that ooey-gooey stuff, I know that. But there is a boyish contact. Playful wrestling or jostling, backslapping, or playful hitting. And those ways of contact with your boy can be as genuine as hugging and kissing. And then the girls, you can help your daughter approve of herself by showing that you approve of her with unconditional love, with eye contact, with appropriate physical contact. Men, it is quite likely that you had fathers who are culturally conditioned not to show physical affection. Instead of hugging you when you were hurt, they said, big boys, don't cry. Get up and be a man. Don't make that mistake. You demonstrate your love to your children as your heavenly Father demonstrated his love to you in sending his own Son. Don't leave it to the mother. Be interested in your children. Be interested in what they're doing. There is an affection that you should show. There is also a tenderness. Now, tenderness is not a word that we associate with fathers. But you shouldn't be harsh and demanding of your children. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, to provoke your children to wrath, you can do it in a number of ways. You can, first of all, do it by venting your wrath on them. Wrath begets wrath. You should never discipline them when you're angry. You should never do it when you're going to lose control. You should allow yourself to cool down before you discipline them. And never discipline them by saying, if you don't do that, I won't love you. Don't discipline by withholding your love. Never say, I don't love you. You should always love them at all times. And then you can provoke them to wrath in a number of ways. And that's by never listening to what they have to say. If you act first and ask questions later. If you chastise them when they've done nothing wrong. You know, nothing can raise resentment in the heart of a child who's been punished for something that it didn't do. And not only do I mean listen to them when they've done wrong, but listen to them at all times. You need to know your child. You need to know what they're thinking and what they are wanting. Young people want to meet other people, and if you do not provide opportunities for them to meet the right ones, they'll go out and meet the wrong ones. You need to take time to bring them to meetings. Take time to bring them into Christian company. Take time from to go and meet Christian young people. You need to give time to that. If you're so busy that you can't have time for your family, you're too busy. And if you have no time for them, don't be surprised then if they go in a way that you don't want them to go. And then there's another way that you can provoke your children to wrath, and that's making excessive demands of them. Sometimes you get fathers who are so demanding of their children that no matter what they do, they can never do right. If you're always on their back, if you're never satisfied with what they do, if you're too strict. Now, I know that there have to be boundaries, and we've spoken about that, and there do need to be boundaries. There needs to be lines that your children don't cross over, but you can't be always provoking them. Remember, it's your duty to discipline them, but you need to train them. And if you train them in the way they should go, you'll find that you don't need to always be on their back. If you train them early, that we were speaking about last time, we need to have tenderness towards them. So there's an affection to them, and there's a tenderness towards them, but there's also a forgiveness towards them. You should forgive your children. You know, in the parable of the prodigal son, we have a wonderful picture of a father with a wayward son. Maybe you have a wayward son or a wayward daughter. You notice how the father dealt with his wayward son. And you notice, by the way, that there was no blame attached to the prodigal son's father because his son was wayward. We looked the last time at Eli, and Eli was a case where there was blame attached to the father. Eli hadn't disciplined his children, and they grew up to despise the things of God. And there was a fault with the father. But with this father of the prodigal son, there was no blame. Father, you may bring up your child and try to do your best by your child, and your child might still rebel. But if they rebel, if they show signs of coming back, you run to meet them. Like the father did in this parable of prodigal son. Because you have fathers, and they will be so hurt by what their child does that they will put them out of the home. And they will want nothing more to do with them. Or you mayn't put them out of the home, but you may say to yourself, well, I have nothing. You shut yourself off from them. You will not have anything to do with them. And that child maybe comes and seeks in some way to make amends or show some signs of being sorry for what they do. And that father will brush them aside. I don't want anything to do with you. No, Father. If that child is coming back, you run to meet them. You watch for them. Watch for signs that they're coming back. Watch for signs that they're wanting to make amends. And when you see that, you just go to meet them. Go to meet them. Now, this father didn't go down into the far country after him, by the way. He didn't do that. Some parents, when they see their children going off into the far country, they go down after them into the far country. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But you have a forgiveness towards them. And when they show any signs of coming back, you forgive them. Put your arms around them. Encourage them into the fold again. We see the love that he is to show to his children. But secondly today, or thirdly in our message, we want to look at the laying up the father is to do for his children. You see, it is the responsibility of the father to lay up for his children. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. We read there in that verse, chapter 12 and verse 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And the word lay up there is a word that means to gather up or store up. So the parent is to store up or gather up for the child. You're to provide for your child's welfare. You're to provide for your child's food, for its shelter, for its education. You're to provide for its needs. That's what you're to do. You may also provide an inheritance, because it says in Proverbs 13 and verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now that doesn't mean when it says that you lay up for your children, you provide them a millionaire's lifestyle. That doesn't mean that. And indeed, it need not mean material inheritance at all. Far better that you provide them a spiritual inheritance. To leave your children with all that they need could be the worst thing that you could do for them. Because you know that if a child has everything it needs, very often it turns into a spoiled brat. Don't make them ignorant of how to save and how to make their own way in the world and how to earn money. Because not only should you give them wealth, but you should give them wisdom. And if you're always providing to them and always handing out to them, you could store up for yourself something that is not good in the future. Those of your children need to know how to earn their own money. But also, if you can lay up for them an inheritance. You say, well then, preacher, if I don't have houses and riches and land to pass on to my children, am I failing them? No, you're not. You could give them the richest inheritance that there is without giving them any wealth in this world. And if you've done your best for your children, and if you've done your best to provide for them, then that's all that God requires of you. And can I tell you this? Fathers, your children need to see you. You could have all the material goods in the world, but if they don't see you, you're wasting your time. They don't only need to see the fruit of your labor, but they need to see their father. And if by trying to lay up for them, you're spending every hour that you have so that you're not giving your time to your children, then you're spending too much time. You need to lay up. And they need to see you do a good day's work for a good day's pay, because that's instructing them in itself. But we're to lay up for our children. Lay up for them wealth. Lay up for them wisdom. Lay up for them an inheritance in the things of God. So we see the love that He's to show to His children. The laying up He is to do for His children. But then we see the life He is to lead before His children. Perhaps the most effective thing that you can do for your children is to live a life before them that is godly. So many children have parents who go... that's right too. So many parents have children who go wrong, and so many children have parents who go wrong. And sometimes, maybe even, there are parents who do all that they can for their children, and the children still go wrong. You know, if you have a wayward child, parent, the Lord understands. The Lord understands. Because He wrote in Isaiah 1 and verse 2, He said, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against Me. The Lord knows what it's like to have rebellious children. So it's not always the fault of the parent. But I am afraid that there are many, many cases where, because a parent has lived a hypocritical lifestyle, they've taught the wrong thing to the child. You tell the children that they're to love the Lord, and they should go to church. And perhaps on a Sunday night, you're found in front of the television set instead of worshipping the Lord. Well, Sunday's the Lord's day. If you can't do without the television, then maybe there's something else wrong on one day. But if you are trying to make excuses why you don't go along to church, if you have a little cold on a Sunday and you can't get out to the place where God is worshipped, but you're standing in a drafty mart on Monday in order to sell some animals, do you not know that your children see that? Do you not know that they learn from that? Do you not know that they remember? They hear the preacher preaching on Sunday, but they see you preaching as well. And they see hear the preacher preaching the Word of God. And then they see you go out and ignore that. And what message does that give them? It gives them the message, well, the Word of God is something that you can take or you can leave. And you know that children will grow up and they will hear you say, do this and do that. And the first question that will appear in their mind is, why do they want me to do that or this when they don't do it themselves? And if he sees you ignoring the preacher, don't be surprised if that child goes further and ignores it further. There's a great pressure on young people to go to the pubs, to go to the band dances, to go to these things. And they will go further. If they see you ignoring it, they will ignore it. The former FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, once told the American Congress that young people who are brought up in Sunday school do not become in juvenile criminal violations. And he gave testimony that of some 8,000 delinquent children, only 42 had ever attended Sunday school. And yet parents are careless about Sunday school. The child will be in school on time, but it seems it doesn't matter about Sunday school. It doesn't matter about reinforcing these things in the home. Oh, we need to reinforce what we're taught in the Word of God in the home. You need to be a positive influence. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul speaks to the Thessalonians as a father, and he says in verse 10, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily, and justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed." He not only spoke to them, but he lived before them. And that's not only true in spiritual affairs, but that's true in everything. Your child will look at how you handle your finances. Your child will watch you, how you make decisions. Your child will watch you, what values you have, what makes you laugh. They will see your mistakes, and none of us is perfect, and you need to admit your mistakes. And he needs to see you stand up for your faith. And let me ask you today, how are you living before your children? Paul gave the qualifications of elders, and it's not only for elders, but it says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." And the word "ruleth" there is the thought of standing before them. You stand before your children as a leader, but also as one who lives before them. Live your life as it should be lived. Live your life in diligent devotion to the things of God. Teach your children by what you do. And as they come to adolescence, they will want to know how to fit into society. When they become teenagers, there are all sorts of authorities that call upon them. There are their parents. There are the teachers. There are the club leaders. There are policemen. There are their friends. All calling them what values they should have. And let me tell you that if you are hypocritical and if you're not consistent in your values, they're not going to follow yours. They'll follow their friends. They'll follow their schoolmates. They'll follow somebody else. You need to have a love in which you, or you need to have a home in which you love them, a home in which their needs are met, a home in which they are cradled, in which they are brought up and nurtured and admonished in the things of God. If you don't make sure that their needs are met, they will get their needs met somewhere else. So fathers, you have a responsibility to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's your responsibility to try and make sure that they're saved, that they have a strong faith, that they have a feeling of worth, a feeling that they're loved. And I wonder today, how are you doing? We need fathers who need to make a change, or we have fathers who need to make a change. There are some of you that need to change. Maybe you'll make the old mistake and you'll go out and do things as you've always done them before. The Word of God's not going to make a button of difference. You're not going to live before your children the way you should. It's not going to make any. You're going to be acting the hypocrite tonight, and you're going to be acting the hypocrite tomorrow and expecting your children to do what you don't do. Oh, may the Lord help us to live differently. Make us men who will dedicate ourselves and our homes to the Lord. And bring up children to love the Lord. And to be nurtured and admonished in the things of God. May God give us homes and give us fathers like that for His name's sake. Amen. Let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word to our hearts today. And O God, we pray that we might love our children and lead our children and live a good life before our children, and that we might lay up for our children, and that everything that we can do, we might do for those children that Thou hast given us. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts. Bless in homes where there is no Saviour, where the father doesn't know the Lord or the children don't know the Lord. Lord, speak. We thank Thee that Thou dost know about rebels too. We thank Thee that Thou had brought up children, but they rebelled against Thee. Thou dost know. Thou dost understand. But, O God, we pray that Thou wouldst bring the wayward ones back to the fold. Lord, that Thou wouldst speak to them and draw them to Thyself. Speak today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.